Welcome to the 31st episode of the Sunshine Gardening Podcast, the ultimate source of expert advice and gardening secrets for Kentucky. I'm your host, Kristen Hildebrand. In this episode, we will delve into the fascinating world of hummingbirds with Annette Heisdorfer, Davis County Horticulture Extension Agent. You don't want to miss this episode if you're going to bring more of these delightful creatures to your garden and create the ultimate hummingbird hotspot. So sit back, relax, and get ready to learn some fantastic tips and tricks to attract hummingbirds to your Kentucky garden.
Welcome to the Sunshine Gardening Podcast. This gardening show will equip and inspire avid gardeners with tips and tricks to help them navigate the gardening world. The show will also highlight specific growing requirements for seasonal plants, so the sun will shine brighter over their Kentucky garden. And now, here's that ray of sunshine, garden enthusiast and horticulture extension agent, Kristen Hildebrand, with the University of Kentucky Cooperative Extension Service.
All right, joining us today on the Sunshine Gardening Podcast is Annette Heisdorfer. How are you today, Annette?
I'm great.
I am so excited to have you on the podcast today. I just like am smiling all over myself because one of the best things that I feel like to do as a gardener is to watch the wildlife outside. And, you know, sometimes when we start talking about wildlife, we think of maybe things that bother our garden, but we're always so excited to see the little hummingbirds return in the spring here in Kentucky. And I get a kick out of watching them out on the back porch because generally we have a hummingbird feeder right there. You're going to be talking to us specifically about ways that we can attract hummingbirds in our garden and our landscape. So just to kind of get the conversation going here, can you tell us a little bit more about specific traits of the hummingbird that we might should consider when trying to attract them to our gardens? I know that they've got a lot of different characteristics from other birds.
The hummingbirds are definitely different, but they are so fun to watch. Just being about 3 to 4 inches long, being so tiny, and the things that they can do, you know, flying up to about 27 miles per hour is pretty amazing for the hummer. Many times it's hard to find that hummingbird until you listen first. Oh, there's a hummingbird somewhere. And then you find it. With those hummingbirds, they have the long bill, and this is the ruby-throated hummingbird that we will find in our area. And with that long bill, as you can imagine, flowers that have a tubular shape are those that the hummingbirds prefer. They also prefer the colors that are red, orange, or yellow. So when we're developing our gardens, also think about putting those flowers in a little bit of mass, put 3 or 4 plants together so that they can see them. They also like plants with flowers that kind of hang down a little bit, so they just can stick the bill in and they're still flying most of the time. So you don't need to necessarily have a perch for them. We also want to make sure that we make several areas for them to feed because they are territorial. So put it on one side of the house, and then design another area where the other birds can't see each other. So it might be on another side of the house or on the other side of a shed or someplace that they're not able to see other hummingbirds.
That's interesting. I don't know if I'd really heard that before. And, you know, like whenever you think about as you get on further into the season, it seems like, you know, at the beginning it's kind of slow and then finally we start to see a lot more. And they do, the males anyway, they really do get, you know, kind of like, this is my spot, don't get in it. So, and it's fun to kind of watch them kind of dart at each other, I guess is way I would say it. I know you mentioned the tubular flower there, and I know you mentioned a couple of colors. Are there some other essential elements that you need to have in a garden to be inviting for hummingbirds here in Kentucky?
The hummingbirds prefer a place that has a little bit of cover. They don't like it where they don't have like a wooded area near them. So it might be a little difficult for people to attract hummingbirds in the middle of an urban area if they don't have trees. You would also need to have a location with some water available. They do like, again, to go in areas where they're a little more private, where they put their nests at. So again, if you don't have some cover with trees, you may have a little bit more trial with attracting them. If you have the feeders out, of course, then you will be attracting them. So you may see more than if you don't have a feeder out, especially in an area where it doesn't have that nice secluded cover for them.
Now, when you talk about the water aspect, I'm sure that probably several of us listening to the podcast, we may have different water features in the garden area. Is there any specific water or water source, I guess, that's good? I know you're going to talk about feeders and things like that here in a minute, but are there any good other sources that are good for water?
Just having a source of water, basically, that they can go ahead and get a little bit of a drink. So nothing that I have found that really is very specific in the water source.
Okay. I know that there are a lot of plants that it seems like when you start looking at the tags of different plants, they'll say attracts hummingbirds. And, you know, for us here in Kentucky, we have a lot of good native plants that seem to be very attractant for hummingbirds. But I'm just curious if you can share with us some of your, you know, favorite plants for hummingbirds or ones that have you found that have been successful.
Some of those successful plants would be something like the cardinal flower. With that cardinal flower, it has the bright red color. That plant can take a little bit of shade, so that's nice. Another is there are some bee balms that are native, but there's also a garden bee balm that we like to plant. Some of the monardas might be native to Kentucky. The lobelia, the cardinal flower, is native. You might find some native vines, such as the trumpet creeper, passion flower, and then also we have the trumpet honeysuckle. That's the Lonicera sempervirens. Some of the other perennials that I like to plant are hollyhocks. You can include cannas, some daylilies, pinstemon, which is called beer's tongue as a common name. And then for me, I like to plant containers on my back deck. And that's where my hummingbird comes. And he likes to look for my petunias as an annual, red salvia, snapdragons. They will come to some zinnias, sweet williams. We can also look at spider flower, cleome, which is kind of an old-fashioned plant for some people. Nasturtiums are really nice. And you don't see it too much anymore, but flowering tobacco, nicotiana, it's a special shorter variety that we grow in our ornamentals in our gardens.
Yeah, those are a nice flower. I've seen them in a couple of arboretums that I visited. And so it is kind of an interesting plant. And the cleomes that you mentioned there kind of surprised me. I don't know if I'd heard that one specifically. So that's interesting that you shared that one. I know at my house, it seems like the hostas, I guess hummingbirds will go to about anything, but it seems like they do tend to visit the hostas at times.
Yes, the hostas are another one. And it's nice that we have a variety of hostas that bloom early and then some bloom later and on through the summer to provide the food. The tubular flowers are also a benefit because some of the insects are inside that tubular flower. And that's where the hummingbird is also needing the protein, and that comes from the insects. So a female who has usually two or three babies in their nest can eat up to about 2,000 insects per day.
That's mind-boggling when you think about it. 2,000 insects, if we ate like 2,000 like little insects a day, that would probably, of course, you know, that would take a lot for us. But still, I mean, with their flight and how much they beat per minute, I mean, I can see that they would need a lot more energy.
And especially when you're a mother feeding little ones, their wings can beat up to about 53 times per second. So it takes a lot of energy for that little bird, so small, to beat the wings 53 times per second. Now, the other unique thing about hummingbirds is they're the only bird that can fly backwards and upside down.
That is so cool. That is so cool.
I think that's why, as you mentioned, when the hummingbirds come, we are so excited. I would always grab the kids and say, hey, look, there it is. There's the hummingbird. Of course, they're kind of bewildered for a little while, but after they see it, they enjoy it too.
Mm-hmm. I have a little one at home myself, and I know she really enjoys getting to see it. And it seems like, you know, they get there kind of, they start feeding early in the morning. And then, you know, whenever it starts getting dark outside, they start to go back to their nest, I guess, to kind of go in for the day. So I have a question for you, Annette, that I was wanting to ask you. And because we tend to get this question at the office here, I'm sure you do there in Daviess County as well. But can you walk us through the steps for creating a homemade hummingbird nectar? You know, a lot of times people will ask, is the red dye appropriate or do we need to leave it natural? You know, sometimes we'll get the question about what's the perfect ratio of water and sugar. So I'm hoping you can address that here.
To make your own mixture for the hummingbirds, you would take 4 parts of water to 1 part of sugar. So this is the best ratio that does mimic the typical flowers. When you add the water and the sugar, it needs to be boiled for about 2 minutes so that we prevent fermentation of that material, the sugar in the water. After it is boiled, then put it in the refrigerator and let it cool and refrigerate. We don't want to microwave it because microwaving can change the molecules of the sugar and it'd be then not helpful for the birds. So we do not want to microwave it. And then we do not want to add any red dye because the dye can, again, hurt the birds.
So no dye. We've heard it here.
No dye. The hummingbird feeders, when you purchase them, make sure that they have some red on the feeder itself, and that would be enough to attract. The other thing is to not include the yellow bee guards. If they're yellow or any parts yellow, hopefully you can take that part off or select a feeder that doesn't have any yellow because that attracts the bees. If you're having trouble with this mixture and bees are coming to the feeder, you can dilute it a little bit more with water so that you do 5 parts of water and then 1 part sugar. And that should help with avoiding the attraction of the bees.
I know you mentioned bees, and we tend to get questions about that as well. But do you ever get questions about ants or any other problem insects around the feeder?
Yes, sometimes those ants just love to climb up and down where it's hung. So for that, there is material called polypropylene that you can put on. It's a sticky repellent. The sticky repellent would be polybutene.
Okay.
And on that would keep then the ants from continuing to crawl. But then you want to come back with a vacuum cleaner and try to get them off. You don't want it all to then have, as they degrade, then it gets kind of yucky. So you want to get that off. Sometimes you can also put shortening on that wire or string so that, it keeps the ants from coming down and visiting into it. There's also in a publication by Dr. Tom Barnes through the University of Kentucky shows a little moat that you can build around the top of the feeder because the ants don't swim. They can't get down in it and across it to get to your feeder.
I like those moat options, and I don't know if I really knew about that until I read Dr. Barnes's publication as well. So that seems like that would be very helpful to have along with the feeders as well. Now, I know you mentioned the recipe that is preferred for making the homemade hummingbird nectar. How often really should we change out that nectar? You know, in the summertime, it can get really hot and humid, and, you know, we want to make sure we're feeding them clean hummingbird nectar, but how often should we replace that nectar?
Early in the season, if we're not having hummingbirds come about once a week, we still have our hummingbird feeder full, then we need to go ahead and dump that, clean it out. Many times in the main season, it may be emptied quite often. So make sure you are going ahead and cleaning it at least once a week and use soap and water. And then you could use something that, according to the label, that is a sterilant.
I was going to say, I know that for some of my feeders at home, some of them are plastic and then others are glass. So it helps me, you know, just run it through the dishwasher, you know, for the glass option, you know, to get it good and clean. Because, you know, occasionally, I know you mentioned in the spring, it could be a little bit different depending on how many hummingbirds we have. depending on the weather. But then summertime, it seems like as it gets really hot, you know, that black starts to form inside. And I like to just, I don't know, it makes me feel better.
Well, and it's better for the birds to clean it. And once you start seeing anything like that, if it's shorter than once a week, then shorten up the window to clean it. And that's where looking at your hummingbird feeder, make sure you have one that comes apart so they can take all the pieces apart. The bleach solution, which would be your sterilant, that probably should still be run through anytime you wash and rinse it really well, and then use the bleach solution and rinse it really well. Use that bleach according to the container.
It's almost like you need two different feeders so that way you can change it out, you know, because it seems like as soon as you empty one, they're like, where did the feeder go, you know? So it's almost like you got to have one ready to go and then one that you can, like you said, take apart, clean, and then, you know, replenish that hummingbird solution.
That would be a great idea because, you know, they're hungry.
They are. They seem to like to feed a lot. They'll drain it depending on how many you have.
So keep an eye on it to make sure there is food constantly available for them as well.
Yes. Now, I know we've covered, you know, a little bit about what's required for hummingbirds. Is there any other things that you might have run into in your career as a horticulture agent, like maybe some common mistakes that we should try to avoid when we're trying to attract more hummingbirds to the landscape?
Many times it's possibly not having quite the right plants that the hummingbirds will like. Needing those tubular flowers is so important so that they can go ahead and get the bill in and get any of even the spiders out so they can get the protein source. Sometimes it's possibly having a situation where they don't have the nice cover or a place for the hummingbirds to go to nest, where they like to be a little bit secluded. Many times we forget to continually fill the hummingbird feeder as well.
I was going to say, and I know that, you know, just from my experience here on the plants that you just mentioned there, it seems like, you know, we may have more summer plants for them, but we don't have, like, I mean, hummingbirds can stay around for a while in the fall. Is that correct?
That's correct. They'll stay around through about October. They can start leaving in July. But some just don't want to seem to go. And it's not because we have plants out. It's just them procrastinating. So in order to save those that are lagging behind, just keep the feeders out. And as you mentioned, plan for all season flowers, because some of the early flocks, and then we have, you know, the late summer flocks, but yet they don't go all the season either. So again, that's a great point of making sure that you have flowers available for the hummingbirds through all of those different seasons. Don't hesitate to leave your hummingbird feeder out. That's a question I always get. How long should I leave it out? Leave it out until you don't see any more hummingbirds coming by. It does not stop them from migrating.
I know we've had some late visitors in September, and I know that I'm always amazed at, you know, there's always a few stragglers that seem to, you know, follow behind them, and you're kind of surprised. So I guess you could always, like you said, as you start to see that, you know, you don't have to have necessarily a full feeder, but maybe just half of it full, and then you can replenish as you need it. So I'm glad you mentioned that. Now, I know that there's probably some great information for us here in Kentucky. I know you mentioned one just in reference there, but you may have some other ones that you like to use as well. But if somebody wanted some additional information on attracting hummingbirds, where typically do you recommend to send them to?
I would really send them to the publication by Dr. Thomas Barnes that he wrote on hummingbirds, an attractive asset to your garden. And Missouri Botanical Garden is a good place to look for plants. And then the Cornell Ornithology Lab, there you might hear the sound of the hummingbirds as they do their little chirp sound. They really don't have a song, but it's more of chirping, and you can hear some there.
I always love to hear them kind of, you know, especially with the males, going back to that, when they're, you know, trying to keep the females all to themselves. It seems like they go, bleep, you know, it's like they're trying to, you know, hey, get away, get away.
That part about their mating call. And when sometimes we see them in the early season as they're mating, the male can fly up to about 60 miles per hour, going up in the sky and down and showing off for the female so that she will choose him to mate with.
Yeah, yeah. It's so fascinating. And you have really, you know, provided us with a lot of great detail and information today on what, you know, plants are good, what elements are great for hummingbird gardens. And then too, especially helping us out with the homemade hummingbird mixture, you know, what's acceptable for the nectar. So Annette, I really appreciate you coming on the Sunshine Gardening Podcast, and I hope that we can see you again sometime soon.
I hope so too. And it has been my pleasure.
Thank you so much for tuning in to another episode of the Sunshine Gardening Podcast. We hope you enjoyed our discussion on attracting hummingbirds to your Kentucky garden. Remember, with just a few simple steps, you can create a welcoming environment for those amazing birds to thrive. Be sure to visit our website at warrencountyagriculture.com for all the show notes from today's episode. And if you enjoyed what you heard today, please consider leaving us a review on your favorite podcast platform. Your support helps us reach more people and grow our community. We're always eager to hear from our listeners, so if you have any questions, feedback, or suggestions for future episodes, please don't hesitate to contact us. Join us again next time on the Sunshine Gardening Podcast for more tips and tricks for keeping your garden growing and thriving. Until then, keep your hummingbird feeders full and happy gardening.
Thanks for listening to the Sunshine Gardening Podcast with Kristen Hildebrand. If you enjoyed today's content, make sure to hit the subscribe button wherever you get your podcasts to catch future segments of the Sunshine Gardening Podcast. Gardeners, keep on digging and learning more about gardening so the sun shines brighter over your Kentucky garden. The Sunshine Gardening Podcasts with Kristen Hildebrand is a production of the University of Kentucky Cooperative Extension Service.